is the Stepney Baptist Church podcast. For more information about the church, go to www.stepneybaptist.com. We thank you for listening and hope you have a blessed day.
Lord, the way that He guides us, the way that He tries to make sure that that we're doing okay and that we're prayed for and that we're supported and the things that you're calling us to, just pray a blessing on him and his family, Lord, that you would be with them. And we pray for the word that he's going to share with us this morning, that you would just go before him, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts and prepare his words for us today. I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Ben. You can also now be praying for Sally Schoonmaker, who slipped on some ice yesterday, I believe, and broke both of her wrists. So we can be praying for, thankfully, Gil, her husband, who was sick a little while back. He's well now, so he's there, and he's the cook in the house anyways. But she's gonna find out this week what is necessary regarding surgery, or I can't imagine, but Let's pray for her. Let's just pray as we share this time together in the Word. God, we're thankful that you have ordained this thing called community, this thing called the church, so that your children can live their lives together, learn and grow and be loved and share love one with another, be in a courageous community, that we make our church family a priority, Lord. We do lift up Sally to you and Gil as she is pretty seriously inconvenienced. And we just pray, Lord, for your healing touch for her and wisdom for her doctors tomorrow. We continue to pray for the Kroskys until we know better what's going on there with Charlie and his lung cancer. And then, of course, we lift up Ted to you, ongoing case of cancer, Lord, but we're just trusting you for your grace to be evident in those three specific people, but all of us as well, as we today continue in our discussion of courageous community. Lord, I pray that your word and that your truth would come to the surface, would be preeminent, Lord, and my own thoughts and ideas would take second place, Lord, of course, to your inspired word. Bless all those who need encouragement this morning. Bless all those who are in need of guidance or provision or healing in our midst this morning as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, so we are in our third leg of this discussion of courageous community. This year we started out with a 2020 vision that included, it started with courageous prayer, and we've been gathering Friday nights at 7. Anyone is welcome. Every week we're here, unless we say otherwise, 7 p.m. right here, we pray. It's always a sweet time of prayer. You don't have to pray out loud. You don't have to be comfortable knowing how to pray, but I guarantee that if you come out, you'll be blessed. There's a sweet sense of God's presence. We've had anywhere from 7 to 20 people, and it's always sweet, and it's always different. So 7 p.m. Friday nights right here. Courageous prayer led to courageous care, which we are rolling out, which is a church-wide care ministry. I was expecting to have a little more ready for that today, which I just don't, but we'll have that more. We did have a nice meeting that started last week after church, and we will be continuing to communicate more on that. But just so that we can care well for our own, making sure that we are doing life together well and then be good stewards over the ones that are in our midst. And then we're moving on. We've been in a few weeks now into courageous community. And I've been using a very powerful little book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was martyred. He was a German pastor and scholar who was martyred at the end of World War II. Actually, just weeks. I actually think it might even have been within hours of the very end, before the Allied forces overcame Germany and really declared the end of the war. But he was a true man of God He was part of the resistance against Adolf Hitler. There was a resistance to know, among Christians, which is good to know. And also that upwards of 1 million Christians died in the Holocaust, which is something we don't hear about so much, in addition to the overwhelming tragedy of 6 million Jews. Anyway, so last week we talked about confession, the power of confession, confessing our sins one to another. And we considered how bearing our soul in an appropriate setting to a trusted person is healing. It's part of what God has set up and established for the church to be a safe and loving and healing place for His people. We said it wasn't so much about confession in the sense that many of us, when we hear that term, many have come from the Roman Catholic background. In fact, last week when I put this next slide up, there were 7 former Roman Catholics who had full-on conniptions here in the confessional booth. It brought shivers down the spine of many former Roman Catholics like myself. No, but the idea is not so much perhaps that we need to confess to or through a priest, but as James says, and if we could put that verse up in James 5:16, and this is the half-brother of Christ, he said, therefore, confess your sins one to another, and then pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. And James is talking about a holistic experience of confession. There's a vulnerability to confessing our sins. We don't want to tell people what we've done, the things in our past. But there's a healing to it, especially when it's in the context of a safe relationship with a mature believer who will pray for us. We can pray for one another. Guess what happens then? We're healed. Who in this room doesn't need healing? I can safely say we all still need some healing. We're always healing. We're always overcoming things so that we are more free. We're in the freedom by which Christ has set us free. This is what we talked about last week with confession. So this week, we're still leaning on this book from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, called Life Together. And the sermon today is just called 6 Ministries of a Healthy Church, a Healthy Church Community. And he calls these ministries, these are, we might say aspects or dynamics of a healthy church. And I think these are pertinent today. It's not an exhaustive list, but it's a helpful list that we're going to look at. Excuse me, together. Okay, the first ministry that's so important in a church. You ever heard this one before? The ministry of holding one's tongue. The ministry of holding one's tongue. There's a diagnostic photograph here. Do not try this at home. If you want to try it here, you're welcome to, but please don't wipe your spitty fingers on the, on the cushion. Please use your own pants. It sounds funny that Bonhoeffer started with this until you think about it a little bit. Obviously, if you're holding your tongue, you cannot speak. And frankly, that's not such a bad thing. How many of us have ever gotten in trouble by what we've said? I know I have. I think maybe we all have. And James also elaborates on this idea. There's a whole discourse in James chapter 3. Which is pretty sobering, about the damage we can do with our words, with our tongues. And he writes this, for every kind of beast and bird, reptile and sea creature has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse the people who are made in the likeness of God. Our tongues get us into far more trouble than any of us would like to admit. But somehow we live in an age where we have come to believe that whatever enters our mind must come out our mouths or must be typed out in social media. Every thought needs to be expressed verbally. And there are two terms that come to mind when I think about our modern view of like words, communication. And one is I'm not picking on younger people, but in these times, we just don't have a filter. Like anything goes. We think it, we say it. The other term that is you started hearing a lot, I have at least in the last 2 or 3 years, is just stream of consciousness. That basically, whatever just comes into your mind, you say it, you tweet it, you put it on Facebook, and that's probably not the best way to live our lives. So in the Christ community, the believing community, we do have a filter. We actually need a filter. The filter is the Holy Spirit within us. And we have to recognize also that anyone we want to talk about, anyone we don't like, or anyone we're making fun of, or a political opponent, or whatever, is a person who is made in the image of God and who is loved by God. So we best be careful about what we say and how openly we spread, you know, hateful words, harsh words. Bonhoeffer put it this way, very simply, with the thus it must quote. Do you see that? Maybe you didn't make it. There it is. It's very simple. You gotta listen, or you're gonna miss it. Thus it must be a decisive rule of every Christian fellowship that each individual is prohibited from saying much that occurs to him. I love that. I love it. It's subtle, but it's so true. You know, especially when it comes to doing life together in Christ, I mean, we can just, if we just run our mouths, we are going to get in trouble. And I'm, you know, I don't want anyone to say, well, Pastor, you go for about 40 minutes every Sunday. That's not what I'm talking about. Well, no, well, that is kind of what I'm talking about, but it's yeah, I have to be very careful, because I understand, according to also to James's letter, that I will be held to a higher account because I take on this role of a teacher. But that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about in our interactions as believers, as, you know, different generations, younger and older, and all the diversity that is in a church. Heaven help us to not say much of what comes into our mind. Let's just be thoughtful about what we share. Paul says this in Ephesians 4:29. He says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. I love that. What a simple principle, but it's so helpful for us. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. I remember a friend of mine, when I first heard this, I think in fifth grade, a friend of mine said, my mom always says, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. How many of you heard of that in your homes? And you know what? It's actually not a bad rule. Can I just say that? Imagine if we all lived by that. First of all, we would all decrease our speaking by probably 40 to 70%, depending on, you know, if you're in the 70% group, you know who you are. There is a millisecond where we have control between our brain and our mouth. There's a millisecond of the between thought and running our mouth. And it's that millisecond where, heaven help us, to have a filter and to ask, according to this verse here, is this corrupt? In other words, is what I'm about to say just mean-spirited? Is it just ugly? Is it just harsh? Because if it is, you know, let it go away. The other thing is, as this verse here says, is what I'm about to say building up the other person? Am I doing something to pour into to enhance this other person's life, you know, in a good way, like to encourage them in their faith or share wisdom about a struggle. Are my words going to be, building blocks that that person can take away and grow with? And if not, again, let it fall off. The third question from this verse here that I would ask is, will this thing that I want to say, will it in any way extend God's grace to the person who hears it? Will this thing I want to say or share about someone else or to say even about the person I'm talking to, will it in some way be a channel for God's grace to that other person? Again, I would say if what we want to say, if what our brain has come up with doesn't meet this criteria, can we just let those words die during that millisecond and fall into the abyss of words that were not meant to be spoken? And heaven help us to have a filter. And maybe I'm the only one in here that struggles with this, but I thought there was at least one other person who sometimes we say things we probably shouldn't say. But God has been working on me for years. Years and years and years on this, and I'm not there yet. I'm not there on any of these points today, but they're all areas where God is working on me, and that encourages me. So, obviously, if we use this rule, this Ephesians 4:29 rule for what as a filter, that does not allow any room for gossip or backbiting, unconstructive or harsh criticism. And all these things are deadly to life together in a courageous community of Christ. There is a healthy criticism. There's a healthy way to communicate. And guess what? Christ followers can and do disagree on a lot of stuff. But there are ways to share it that are gracious, that are patient, that reflect grace, a dialogue, and there's a winsome way and a loving way to share disagreements. And even to say, we agree to disagree on this one, but I still love you. This help us, Lord, to become more like this. This is another quote I want to read from Bonhoeffer. He says, this is sort of saying we've arrived, we're better at this. He says, now that we're better at this, we can allow the other person to exist as a completely free person, as God made him to be. For the first time, we see shining above our brother the richness of God's creative glory. God does not will that I should fashion the other person in my own image. Rather, God made this person in his image. God loves that other person, and heaven help us to be working with God, pouring into other people, instead of being part of someone else, causing someone else to stumble or fall because of harsh words we've said or unloving or unthoughtful words. I just think that's a wise summary statement. The second point, the second ministry we're going to talk about today is a ministry of meekness. We all understand, hopefully, that meekness is different from weakness. But Bonhoeffer's point here is that we coexist with humility, a humility which never looks on another person's sin, shortcomings, failures, whatever, as worse than our own. A humility that, unlike the world teaches, it's a humility within the church that desires the very best for other. It's a non-competitive humility in Christ. Here's just a definition of meekness: a righteous, humble, teachable, patient under suffering, long-suffering, willing to follow gospel teachings, an attribute of a true disciple. So meekness isn't powerless. I would suggest that meekness is power that's fully under control. And what better example of meekness is there than Christ? As Creator God, Christ came to earth in full meekness. He made himself accessible, vulnerable to sinners, all of us, even to the ones who would exert murderous violence against him. In full self-control, Christ suffered and died at the hand of his haters, Why? So we could live. So we could have life and have it more abundantly. Remember when Jesus was arrested in Gethsemane and Peter, you got to love Peter. He's always just on the wrong side of every thought. And he has no filter. He's a great example of a filterless disciple. So Jesus is arrested in Gethsemane. Peter pulls out the sword and cuts off the servant's ear, the servant of the high priest. And listen, hear the meekness in what Christ's rebuke of Peter from Matthew 26, verse 52 and 53. And then Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" What's Jesus saying here? I have access to all power, but this is not a moment for power. It's a moment for meekness. And actually, Jesus is embracing on purpose by God's design weakness here before his enemies, because he will ultimately go to the cross and take our punishment, take the punishment of all of us upon himself. It's not because it's so sad that Jesus lost and was martyred. No, this was always the plan, and this was not because Jesus could not get out of the situation. It was because Jesus knew he was fulfilling God's plan and demonstrating full meekness. The third aspect that we're going to talk about this morning is listening. Excuse me, the ministry of listening. Maybe you've heard it said, but the best therapists do mostly listening and a little bit of talking. I think that's actually true. It's a good quality to have in marriage, church life, friendships, even in business. Everybody wants to be heard, and everybody wants to know they're understood. So this is just a basic rule of life. Who here doesn't want to be heard or understood? If you put your hand up, we're going to come pray for you. We all want to be heard and understood, because basically all we have is our inner world and our thoughts and our feelings. And even if they're not quite right sometimes, or we don't have the right take on things, or we need someone else to bring encouragement into it, it's important that first we just simply feel and know that we've been heard. It sounds easy, frankly, we all want that, but I don't know how many of us are actually good listeners. Bonhoeffer writes this. He says, "The first service that one owes to others in the fellowship consists in listening to them. Just as love to God begins with listening to his word, so the beginning of love for the brethren is learning to listen to them." I think sometimes as Christians, we think we have to just dump a lot of information on new people. New Christian, someone decides, "I'm going to make a decision for Christ. I'm going to follow Jesus with my life. I want to be a member of your church," whatever. And we just think that's our cue just to get on a nonstop monologue about all the things of God. Way more information than someone can process probably in that moment. And I think if we could actually, just because that person is so precious to God and their journey is all they know, and it's important that we care uniquely about their journey, their fears, their hardships, their disappointments, in life and God, their hopes, their dreams. You know, if we understand this person deeply, we're going to do a more effective job of helping them understand who Christ is in that context than just sort of a uniform pushing out of information about who Christ is and the scriptures and this and that. And I'm not saying we don't teach. I'm not saying we don't disciple or mentor or help someone to grow up. I love this next. And I don't want to hear any sneers, Seth, on this one. But Christians, especially ministers, so often think they must contribute something when they are in the company of others. They forget that listening can be of greater service than speaking. I strongly disagree with this one. I just put it up as I agree to disagree with Bonhoeffer posthumously. No. I I have encountered many ministers in my life, and I pray I'm not one of them. And if I become one of them, please tell me lovingly. But to just feel that every exchange needs to turn into a teaching. And that's not what life is about. And everyone doesn't want a teaching every time they say hi to you. That, you know, people just want to hear what's going on, or they have questions about how do I deal with this? How do I get through this situation? Or help me, you know, whatever. So heaven help us when we just feel like we've got to turn everything into a teaching. We want to bring people to Christ. We want to educate people on the power and the content of His Word, which is just has so much richness and wisdom in there, but we don't want to talk at people. We do want people to hear us, but oftentimes church people are not self-aware, which, meaning if we're not self-aware, we're certainly not going to be other-aware, and we can just run our mouths, so heaven help us with this. And Bonhoeffer brings up an excellent point here, too, that I think is so true. He said the same tendency is there in our prayer lives, that we think that prayer is a monologue. Like, we come into a place of prayer, we pray everything we can think of, and then we get up and go. And it's actually, I would challenge anyone with that notion. That's how I used to pray. Sometimes it's not until we stop talking and start listening that we can begin to hear from God, whether it's through His Scripture or by the, some say, the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. However we hear from God, but if our mouth is running, even in prayer, our ears are not able to really listen. So let's pray. Let's ask for what we want from the Lord. But before we get up and get on with our day, can we get quiet for a few minutes and say, Lord, you know, maybe just have the Bible open in our lap and just be flipping through wherever we're reading or just in the Psalms or somewhere. Say, Lord, is there anything you want to speak to me today? And you'll be surprised what the Lord will communicate with you. You know, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And that's a different experience for each person. I'm not saying that each person is going to audibly hear the voice of Jesus. But I think He will communicate. It does mean that. And most often through His Word. The idea of listening and engaging with another person. Maybe you know, maybe there's someone in your life that you know, when you see them, they might ask you a leading question or two, and you say, well, you know, hey, so maybe they'll ask you about something that's going on in your life. And as soon as you start to, you know, answer them and talk, their eyes are darting everywhere. They're looking down at your shoes, or they're just like, their eyes are kind of just, and they're like preparing the next thing they're going to say. So you might as well talk about the monkey jumping out of the toaster, and they'll just be like, well, then how's the other thing? You know, and it's like, no, listen, I have ADD. I have ADD, so this is not easy for me. And Liz is laughing. Why would you, honey, why would you be laughing? This is hard for me to focus on another person and to get quiet. But by the grace of God, He's helping me to do this. And in ministry, just in friendships and relationships, to actually let the other person finish, maybe actually build on what they've just shared instead of going to what I want to share. I'm, again, work in progress, but thankfully I also am under grace. All right, the fourth point, the ministry of helpfulness. We've already talked about the Courageous Care ministry we're launching here. But it's also just amazing on week in, week out, how many people serve in a church, small church or large church, without any fanfare, you know, or recognition. There's just this idea that it just takes many, many volunteers and workers to, you know, to keep a church like this afloat, just operating decently. We don't see perfection on this side of heaven, but we cut each other a lot of grace and slack, and we'll try to pick up the slack and to be helpful. Bonhoeffer writes this about being helpful, and specifically about caring for others, and this is something we've actually just said in our Courageous Care ministry. He said, we must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will constantly cross our paths and cancel our plans by sending us people with claims and petitions. We may pass them by, preoccupied with the more important tasks, as the priest passed by the man who had fallen among the thieves while reading his Bible. Here, of course, he's speaking of the parable of the Good Samaritan that Christ told. And I just have a bit of a confession with this too. I can be dismissive because I know where I stand doctrinally or theologically, and I believe in the scriptures, and this is God's inerrant word for us. And I can sometimes I'll hear another denomination, and I'll have like less than charitable thoughts, and I'm just this is a confession. I'm not proud of it because I was challenged by that in this area this past week. Someone who came to us for help when we first arrived here, and then we hadn't really heard much from in the last 10 or 12 years. So someone struggling with addiction and just a lot of difficulties came up again this past week or two, still struggling and but once again needing some help. And it was a week or two. The last couple weeks have been extremely busy and lots of stuff, and then sickness on top of that. But I just knew that this was from God. They happened to still have my cell phone number from probably 2007 or 8. And I'm so glad they did. And so in many ways, we're actively helping this person who is still struggling with addiction. Well, this person told me, though, I went into this church, this denomination X church near my home. And I thought, oh, great. What did they tell her? And she said, and these two women greeted me at the back of the church, and they were just incredibly caring and sweet with me, and they just loved me, and they were kind, and they didn't judge me, and they helped me with resources, and they followed up with me. She said it was just so wonderful, and I was not only was I deeply blessed to hear that, but I was also convicted of my judgmental attitude about another denomination. And I can say, well, you know, we believe this. And, you know, we can start to say that, well, therefore we're better. And it's like, heaven help us. You know, if we can't just let other people and other denominations just sort of live their lives and just be without our critical attitudes. Because those two women that ministered to this one woman that I'm speaking of here, they were absolutely Christ's hands and feet to this woman, and it was part of an orchestration by the Lord of help through us and through other places that I pray will help this woman deal with addiction and kick addiction before it destroys her, but also that she'll meet Christ in this, and maybe this will be the moment after decades of bad choices and addiction, which is just such a chronic, whether it's a disease or not, I don't know, but it certainly is an all-consuming and murderous problem for many dear loved ones. So I just pray for this person that maybe this is the moment. We never know. And so an interruption is just is out of the blue when it happens for someone needing help, or like the story of the Good Samaritan. So the Samaritan people, just very quickly, and we don't have time to read it. It's in Luke chapter 10. But the religious person was reading their scriptures and saw this person bloody and bludgeoned on the street and robbed and left for dead. And the religious person just kept going, you know. But then the Samaritans, and the Jews hated the Samaritans because they were sort of a half-breed. It was a racial and religious hatred for the Samaritan people because they were seen as like a commingled breed that were partially Jewish, had some Jewish roots, but also had what we might call pagan or sort of other or Gentile roots. And so the Jews actively, openly hated the Samaritans. Yet, as Jesus tells this parable, it's the Samaritan that shows mercy. It's not someone of the right pedigree with the right perfect doctrine or the perfect background that showed mercy. In fact, that person with the right pedigree was just a religious fake. But the Samaritan who has a hybrid of religion, hybrid racially, this person showed mercy. And Jesus was telling this story to righteous, pharisaical, you know, self-righteous people. And it was very insulting to them. And the point is, interruptions happen, and let's be those agents of help, and let's also partner with other agents of help, even if they're very different from us. So that's the ministry of helpfulness. The ministry of bearing is the fifth point here, and Galatians 6:2. So it says that bear one another's burdens. You can go to the next. Here we go. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. And just there's a lot here that we could say, but there is so much in the New Testament about what we do one for another. We care for one another. We walk through things, hard things with one another. And I think especially you may not be that person who's ever really stepped out to walk through a really hard thing with another person. I'll tell you this, because you say, well, how do I do it? Or can I do it? Or am I equipped to do that? And the answer is no, you're not equipped to do it. But guess what? God will still put you in that spot. If you have maybe you have a particular concern for someone going through something really hard, and you say, I really want to help, but I don't know what to do. Sometimes just saying, but making a commitment to in your with the Lord just to be there. I remember as 20 some odd years ago when I was in another we were in another church and there was this guy that was coming into a prayer meeting that I was part of who was so broken going through just a miserable divorce, and he was brokenhearted. He was a new believer himself. His wife wanted nothing to do with Christ, two little kids, and he was just broken. And I wasn't trained to care for someone like that. I was working in the city and living life, and we had little kids ourselves. But I remember just this unction from the Lord to say, just make him a priority. Just reach out and be there for this guy. And I did, and by the grace of God, I don't want to be the hero of every story, I don't like to preach that way. But this guy became one of my best friends, and he loves the Lord to this day, and God has really rebuilt his life. And now I learn a lot from this guy, and we're still in regular fellowship, regular contact. And did I have all the tools to help someone going through a bitter divorce? No. But I did have love. I did have Christ. I knew how to pray, and I knew how to pick up the phone and check in on someone. And sometimes if we could just do that, be there for someone, God will, he absolutely will use us. And the final one today we're going to touch on is the ministry of proclaiming. And this is the last quote I will put up from Bonhoeffer today, I promise. He says, proclaiming is the free communication of the word, the word meaning the word, from person to person, not by the ordained ministry, just like people like me, but by the unique situation in which one person bears witness in human words to another, sharing the whole consolation of God or the whole full counsel of God. It's amazing how much of the Bible everyone knows. And you might just know a few verses, but those few verses may be the very thing someone else needs to hear. So we are a church that believes in proclaiming and teaching and studying this word when we get together on Sundays, whether it's a Bible study on Friday mornings or Saturday mornings, men's group or Wednesday nights. We learn and kind of absorb what we can from this so that we can proclaim it to others. We don't retain it all, but we retain enough that God will use that and work with us and actually minister through us with a little bit that we might be able to recall, but also with a willing spirit. I would like to invite the band up. If we could put up that, Noel, yeah, I love that picture. I'm showing that at the end of every, it's just a painting of the sort of the early church gathering with Christ. But If you wouldn't mind putting back up the six ministries of a healthy church. Yeah, there we go. Just as the band is coming and we're wrapping up our time here together, I just want to just let the Holy Spirit minister on each of these points. We'll just take a minute or two or whatever while these guys are getting ready. But what has the Lord spoken to you this morning? Like, where do you see the action steps of your own heart? I could give you 50 action steps, but the ones the Lord ministers to you, that's the one that you might even want to write down on the back of your bulletin and take with you today. Holding your tongue. Although we have perfected that art in this church, well, I heard there's another church where people don't know how to hold their tongues. Maybe being meek. If you do have power or strength, learning how to be meek with that, learning how to be truly humble in ministering to others. The ministry of listening. How good are we at listening? Or do we like to just run our mouths? Sometimes that's just easier. How about being in the space of listening? How about being helpful? Which means being interrupted to help someone else. And again, I think this church has a heart to do that and does that beautifully. And also this, the ministry of bearing. Like, who's on your heart? I wish I could do something for this person. Bearing with one another. And then finally, proclaiming. And there's no one in this room who has even the most basic level of Bible knowledge that can't use the little bit of Bible knowledge or the lot that you have to proclaim God's truth to another. So let's just have a moment in silence, and if there's something the Lord wants to minister to you, then we'll have our closing song. God, thank you. Just thank you that you're a relational, loving, good God. And we need you. We need you just as you are. Lord, would you remove any false ideas that we've ever heard or believed about who you are, and understand that you are gracious and merciful to 1,000 generations. Lord, that you love us and that you want our hearts. So Lord, help us this week to surrender our hearts to you throughout the week. Help us to work on some of these things that maybe that you challenged us as we heard your word this morning. Lord, we want to be more like Jesus as we walk this life through. So Lord, help us not to walk out of here and just be hearers of the word, but let us be doers of the word. Let us do things differently, which is really the art of repentance. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So before we close, just a quick reminder. So there, if you are in any way interested in helping with Vacation Bible School, which the date is still, I don't know if it's finalized yet, but that meeting is going on right away in the youth room, which is the first room in the education building, right away after the service. So if you have kids in Sunday school or nursery, pick them up first and then go into the VBS meeting. We also have coffee hour just downstairs in this little corner stairway. If you go down there, there's an amazing spread for just to say hi and talk to someone you don't know very well. I would like to read a benediction from Colossians 3, 12 and 13. So please receive this as you leave this place today. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus with all his saints. Have an awesome week.